Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
We're continuing on this morning in our series on Holy Spirit. And this is week number 6. We're going to conclude it next weekend. But this morning we are talking about Holy Spirit, our helper. I think it's kind of amazing that on the weekend of Palm Sunday that we speak on Holy Spirit, our helper. And when you look at this term in its context, it refers to our helper, our advocate, our comforter. And in John chapter 12, which I read a little bit ago, we read the story of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And as he was coming in, the people were shouting and praising God and saying, "Praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." Jesus' arrival on a donkey had been prophesied numerous years before, and we were able to read about that in Zechariah 9:9. The people are being encouraged and comforted. As John 12:15 says, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem." Zechariah was prophesying over them years before and helping them and comforting them years before this would even come to pass. He was speaking this into them. So this morning, we're speaking about Holy Spirit, our helper. There are many ways that Holy Spirit will help us. Holy Spirit helps us by advocating for us. Holy Spirit helps us by comforting us. Holy Spirit helps us by counseling us. The Greek word that's used in this passage of Scripture is the word paraclete, and it means all of these items. So since starting this series, I've had a few people come up to me, and they said, "I hear that you often say Holy Spirit and not the Holy Spirit." And I don't know if you've picked up on that, and I've had some conversations about that, but I just want you to understand that this, for me, is more of a personal thing. It doesn't change anything about the work that Holy Spirit does. My relationship with God, my relationship with Holy Spirit is very personal, and Holy Spirit is always with me. Holy Spirit, as we've been learning, has many roles. Holy Spirit is the regenerator, is the advocator, is the uniter. And this morning, like I said, we're talking about the helper. So just like when I talk about Jesus, I don't talk about the Jesus, but I talk about Jesus, the Son of God, right? Holy Spirit, the advocate. Holy Spirit, the helper. When I go and call out to Kyla in the house, I don't go, "The Kyla, the Kyla, can you come and help me?" And when I call out, I say, "Holy Spirit." So it's nothing doctrinally incorrect or anything, don't worry, but that's a personal thing for me. And I don't know if you're in the same boat or not. But continuing on, I want to share with you an example of how Holy Spirit was helping me this one particular day. I woke up and I sensed immediately in my heart that God was asking me to spend the day fasting and praying. I didn't know exactly why, and I didn't know the reason behind it. So I let Kyla know, "Just so you know, I'm going to be taking the time to fast and pray today." And I would set out time throughout the day, and it's always good, you know, as soon as that stomach starts to growl, it's like, "Oh yes, I'm fasting." And it's a reminder to go right into prayer. But I kept praying, and then the next day I woke up and kind of spending time with God, and he just said, "I want you to keep fasting and praying." Again, I didn't know exactly why I was fasting and praying. I simply knew that I had to obey. This continued on for a total of 5 days. So this one particular morning, on the 5th day, I happened to have an encounter with somebody from the church where I was serving. And they took it upon themselves to say some very unkind things to me. And immediately, I knew that Holy Spirit had been preparing me for this conversation. Holy Spirit helped me during this conversation. Holy Spirit was there to counsel me and provide me with the proper words to say. The conversation with this individual ended, things were well, and we went on our own way. As I walked away, I knew right away that this was the moment that Holy Spirit had been preparing me for. Had I not been obedient to fast and pray, I believe that my reaction to the situation would have been very different. I believe that I probably would have come in with a more defensive approach. But because Holy Spirit had been preparing me, my heart was so much more sensitive to what Holy Spirit was saying, and He filled my mouth with the words to say. So Holy Spirit was there to counsel me, to advocate for me, and to help me. We don't always know why it is that God asks us to do specific things. The question is, are we prepared to be obedient when we know and to do the thing that God is asking us to do? Having a sense in my spirit that day to spend time fasting and praying, I did not have to go and spend time and say, God, is that you? God, is that you asking me to fast? Are you sure that's you, God? Just like I've said this before, and I'll say it again because I believe it bears repeating. When you're at home and a name is dropped into your heart, or you're out somewhere and God speaks to you and says that He wants you to pray for this individual, I can guarantee you 100% beyond the shadow of any doubt that that is not the enemy saying that. Right? The enemy will not tell you to do those things. So the moment that that name gets dropped into your heart, that's Holy Spirit's way of saying, pray for that person. Pray for that person right now. You don't know what they're going through. But how many times have you seen a person, I've heard this happen before, where somebody has said, they'll talk about a situation, and then the person will say, well, when did that happen? And they start talking, and it lines up to be the exact time that God had placed that name in their heart, and they're praying for this person for what's going on. So we started out this series, and I asked the question, who is the sidekick? When you're working in partnership with another person, you allow them to assist you with what's going on, right? I mean, Batman had Robin's back. Laverne had Shirley's back. Fred had Barney's back. God has your back. So this morning, I'm going to invite us to turn in our Bibles to John chapter 14, and we're going to read 16 to 18. And before we do that, let's take a moment and pray. Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit continues to work in each and every one of our lives. We thank you this morning that you regenerate us, that you have united us, that you empower us. And Father, as we go into this scripture this morning, I pray that our hearts and our eyes and our minds would be open to the fact that you are there to help us. You are continuously advocating for us. So we thank you for this. And we pray that you would continue to open up our hearts and our minds to what you want to say this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So in your Bibles, John chapter 14, verse 16 to 18. And it says this, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. For a long time, Jesus had been preparing the disciples for the fact that He would not always be with them. Jesus is assuring them, don't worry, I'm not going to leave you to your own vices. He assured them and said that the Father is going to send you a helper. In the Amplified, you'll read, it says, I will send you a comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, a person to be there with them. Whatever it is that we need and it applies, whatever it is that they needed, and this applies to us today, is that Holy Spirit will be there. He even tells them this is the Spirit of truth. So when I read this myself, what I hear and understand is that when Holy Spirit speaks and asks me to do something, it is complete truth. It will line up with the Word of God. It will line up with the teachings that I hear that Jesus shared with the disciples. He said He would be leaving them physically, but Holy Spirit will come, will fill them, and will empower them. So what were they told to do? They were instructed to go to the upper room and wait for Holy Spirit to come. Remember, they had Jesus with them. Jesus walked with them. and he did life with them. He let them know that he would be leaving them and he would be going to the Father. He would ascend into heaven and Holy Spirit will come down, will be poured out, and would dwell in them. Today, when we invite Jesus to come into our hearts, we are indwelt with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes into our lives. Jesus has attempted to help them to understand this many times. And we learn from their responses, they didn't always get this. They didn't always fully comprehend it. If you have your Bible, read down in verse 26, and it says, as Jesus is still talking with them, in this same conversation, he's saying, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. So Jesus is really helping them out now. It's almost like he's saying, don't worry, you're going to figure this all out. After I'm gone, the Helper is going to come to you, and Holy Spirit will bring back to remembrance everything that I've taught you, everything that I've spoken to you, and all of these things. It's going to be like, ah, that's what he was talking about, right? We need help sometimes with having these things come back to our remembrance. For myself, I have this crazy memory, and I think I've said this before, that I tend to store away useless information, right? The important stuff I can't always remember. I was down on the pier just about 3 weeks ago, and I saw this man and his wife, and they were walking down the pier, and I'm looking, and all of a sudden, they're coming into focus, and I'm looking at this person, I'm thinking, that person looks really familiar. And so anyway, they come closer, and I can see the way that they're walking, and I'm seeing the facial features, and I'm thinking, that's got to be the person I'm thinking of. So anyway, he's visiting with his wife there on the pier, and when they turn to walk away, I said to him, I said, can I ask you a kind of a weird question? He said, sure. I said, did you ever live in Dawson Creek, BC? He looked at me, he says, yes. I said, did you ever teach at Frank Ross High School? He said, yes. I said, you were my grade 8 PE teacher back in 1986. He looked at me and says, are you kidding me? I said, yes. And I mean, his name was Grant Ashley. And some of you might know him from, I think he was at Vanier, but he was a basketball coach. And I went on and started talking, and he said to me, he says, how did you remember this? And so I just happened to say, well, you know, your facial features are still quite similar. But I said, it was the way that you walked. And his wife immediately said, yeah, he's got a different bit of a gait when he walks. And I said, I remember, and okay, now remember this. I'm grade 8, overweight kid. I don't do any sports. And I said, you took the grade 10 students, basketball team, down to Seattle to watch the Seattle Supersonics play the LA Lakers. Why do I remember this stuff? Right? This is the useless information that's stored away in my brain. However, I believe that for such a time as now, this was brought back to remembrance to be able to connect with this individual and to kind of pick up the pieces of where we were. And then he goes on to say, so what brings you here? And I'm telling him that I'm the pastor at this church. And who knows, there may be one day where he'll walk into this church or something may happen. He'll be like, I remember that pastor kid that I taught back in years ago. I'm going to go to that church. We don't know why it is that God brings these things back to our remembrance, but he does. And just like the disciples, he's reminding them. He says, you're not getting it now. You're not fully comprehending it, but the day is going to come where this will all be brought back to your remembrance. So Jesus knew the disciples. He knew that they would need help remembering. Right? Just like me. Like I said, I can remember what I did in 1986, but if you come to me after the service and ask me to remember something, I will likely say to you, can you please email me? Because from the time of our conversation till I get to my office, it's gone. But I'll probably remember it 20 years from now. I'll be like, oh, yeah. So please, if I ask you to remember, I said, I don't think I ever want to do a testing for Alzheimer's because I would probably fail. Because I can remember all of the things of childhood. But we read in verse 29, now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. So what Jesus is doing is he's setting them up for success. He's helping them to have that light bulb moment well in advance. So what are we able to learn from Jesus through the conversation that he had with the disciples? And through that, we can will help us to understand Holy Spirit, who is our helper, our advocate, our counselor. Well, the first thing is that when Jesus was with the disciples, he helped them. Holy Spirit is our helper. We often meet people and that are afraid or unwilling to ask for help. Sometimes we don't want to admit the fact that we need help. I remember when I got a job, one of my first jobs as a selling shoes at Kinney Shoes a number of years ago. The manager was training us, and she told us, she says, okay, when people walk into the store, do not walk up to them and say, may I help you? You need to go up to them and say, may I assist you? Because the thing is that when you say that, do you need help, it implies that they have something wrong with them. So just come alongside and say, may I assist you? And that kind of has stuck with me. But the reality is, we all need help. Is there anybody here that's bold enough to say, I need help? Right? The other people, I will put you down, so I'll start praying for you this week, because I know that some of you need help. But it takes a lot of courage to say, I need help. A number of weeks ago, I had a friend reach out to me and simply say, Chad, I'm in a tough spot, and I need help. I didn't respond with saying, okay, tell me all of the details, and I'll see if I can assist you. I responded immediately with an absolute, yes, I am here. We then started to engage in conversation. He shared with me what he was comfortable in sharing, and from there, we started to determine a plan of how we can I can get this guy and how he can figure out how to get on that journey of wholeness. When Holy Spirit directs someone to you, are you ready to depend on Holy Spirit for the guidance and the help that you're going to need? I can assure you that Holy Spirit will give you everything that you need for that person. Jesus gave the disciples everything they needed to continue to minister to the people. He even led them by example. Have you ever thought to yourself, you're in a conversation and you think to yourself, I just got to get that person to church. How many people have, I don't want to see your hands, but you have in your heart, it's like when you're talking to someone, I just got to get that person to church. What happens once you get them inside of the church doors? Do you think that they are going to be miraculously healed, miraculously saved, miraculously fixed? I believe that God is able to do all of these things. But there's something that we must remember. This building, this auditorium, this is not the only place where God will do a healing. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can do a healing in a person's life at your kitchen table? In the middle of a grocery store? Amen. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives within us. Holy Spirit has somehow placed this person in your path. They are in need of help. Holy Spirit is creating the opportunity for you to be able to lead them to Jesus. The direction of us as believers is to go into the world. Nowhere do I read in Scripture that it says, bring them to 1919 Guthrie Road. We are instructed to go into the world. We bring them to Jesus. Jesus is with us everywhere that we go. I heard this statement just recently, and it said, evangelism is joining a conversation Holy Spirit is already having with another person. Evangelism is joining a conversation Holy Spirit is already having with another person. You might want to take a picture of that to serve as a reminder. Because the thing is that when Holy Spirit brings you in the path of that person, Holy Spirit has already been in conversation with them. Basically, what I see there is that we're kind of being set up for success. Holy Spirit is preparing the way. How many times do we hear that someone prayed, they've been at their wits' end and said, God, if you are real, if this is you, can you please send somebody? And how many times do we hear somebody say that God miraculously caused somebody to come into their path? Holy Spirit has already been having a conversation with that person and bringing you along to come alongside of that person. When you realize that someone is sick and in need of care, You are with that person. You have been placed in their path to walk with them. What do you do? Whether you're taking them to a church, a hospital, an appointment, or a counselor, they're coming to you and they're asking for help. They are looking to you to help them on this journey that they're on. Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom and the insight that you need to know how to proceed. Jesus knew each of the men that he would call to be his disciples. There's two things to consider when he called these men. They did not look at Jesus and start telling him that, oh God, I'm not worthy to follow you. They didn't even know who he was. When Jesus called them, we read that they immediately dropped what they were doing and they followed him. And Jesus did not stop and say, do you have any issues going on in your life that I should be aware of before I invite you into a journey with me? He didn't say that. He was God. He already knew that they had issues. The people that God's going to bring into your path, they have issues. We all have issues. What are we doing with those issues? So Jesus modeled for them what it means to help others. How many times did Jesus say to the people, oh, you need to come to our church on Sunday morning so that you can get saved? He didn't say that. He ministered to the people right then and there. He brought them to the Father. What was he doing? He was bringing them to himself. He had all authority. He was advocating for them. God is using you to bring that person to the Father. When Jesus was with his disciples, he advocated for them. Holy Spirit is our advocate. When we hear that Jesus advocates for us, what exactly does that mean? To advocate for another person is to add a voice of support to a cause or to a person. When people are made aware of a need, it provides the opportunity for people to step up and help out. I love that even here in our church, when we are made aware of a need in our church, so many of you step up and you immediately go to work. The person may need furniture, the person may need food, the person may need something. But through the benevolence work here at our church, I have heard stories and seen stories of people having expenses met. They've come short and they needed help. They haven't had food in their cupboard. They've needed help with moving. I believe that we want to help out, and as such, when a need is presented, we step up. But the question is, how are we as people, as individuals, doing these things outside of these walls? We're really good at helping out our own. How are we doing with helping those in our neighborhood? As a pastor, I can teach. I can educate. I can put tools into your toolbox. But if you don't use those tools, what's the purpose? Are you advocating for the people in your neighborhood? Are you aware of the needs that are around you? We tend to look at what we don't have, but it's time to realize that we have everything in Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you have everything in Christ? How do we make people aware of Jesus? Are we advocating for people? Are we making them aware of this man that came to this earth to die on a cross for our sins? This coming week, we're entering into Holy Week, and we're reminded of the work that Christ did. I was even saying to Kelsey yesterday, as I was doing some work in the yard, I was cutting down some blackberry bushes, and my finger kept getting pricked with the thorns, and it hurts. It hurts. And I even said to her, I said, and to think that he had a crown made out of these thorns and put on his head. That one little prick really hurt, but to think of having to wear a crown of thorns on your head, it was just that reminder of what he has done for us. Who is it that you're advocating for? Who are you bringing to Jesus and being the voice of support? Here's something that I've been challenged by. Am I spending more time, more of my prayer time, praying for my own needs or praying for healing of the people within our church and neglecting or not praying for my friend Bill, who is outside of our relationship with Christ. It's a sobering thought, right? I think about this, and this is something that Holy Spirit brought back to my remembrance this morning. I've got two uncles who are very sick. One has to go in regularly to get fluid drained off his lungs. The other is waiting for open heart surgery. The uncle who has to go in to get stuff drained off his lungs has been a believer his entire life. He served in ministry. He was a pastor for a number of years. He knows Christ. The other uncle does not have a relationship with Christ. I'm not saying that we don't pray for the believers. I believe that God is able to do the miraculous. I've seen that happen. But here's what I think of. If this one uncle, all of a sudden, something happened and he passed away, he's in heaven. That's a much better place. Our time here on this earth is very temporary. It's short. But I have this other uncle who's waiting for open heart surgery. And I'm praying that he gets in for this surgery. But more importantly than that, I'm praying for his salvation. Because if something should happen to him, I'm not the judge. But I know that he does not have a relationship with Christ. And if you're outside of a relationship with Christ, I know where you're going. Because the Bible says so. We spend so much time focusing on those who have a relationship. When Jesus spoke with the people, he wasn't necessarily focused on their physical healing. He was concerned more about the condition of the heart. Are we ready to pray and to advocate for others? Are we prepared to go to bat for others? So when Jesus was with his disciples, he was also their counselor. Holy Spirit is our counselor. Jesus was and is and will always be the greatest counselor. Isaiah 9 even describes him as wonderful counselor. If you're in a relationship with other people and you're required to listen to them, walk with them, then it's important to understand what it means to be a counselor. Every single person, as I just said, here on this earth, we all have issues. We all have hurts. We all have struggles that we're walking through. But if God is placing a person in your path, he's placing them there for a reason. When you read through the Psalms, you learn and see that the psalmist is continuously pointing them to the Lord as the counselor. Psalm 16:7 says, I bless the Lord who gives me the counsel. Gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. When God wakes you up out of your sleep, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Oh, yeah, God, okay, yeah, I need 10 more minutes. Just can you remind me of that in the morning? If God wakes you up, he's instructing you to spend time in prayer. Think about all of the teaching, the modeling, and the instructing that the disciples would have seen from Jesus. He modeled for them what it means to be the great physician, the greatest psychologist, the greatest counselor. I know for myself, I go and see a psychologist on a regular basis to make sure that everything here is okay. I spend time with God on a regular basis to make sure everything here is okay. When God puts these people in your path, it's important as well not to take those things on, to transfer what's going on in them onto yourself. What we need to do is pray for them and continue to give it to God. Continue to be a counselor. Jesus was known to all as the soul doctor. People brought their sicknesses and their diseases to them. To him, he prayed and he healed them miraculously. But what you will often notice when Jesus is speaking to them is he focuses on the condition of their heart. When he healed people, he would encourage them and say, go and sin no more. You've been forgiven. Keep your eyes on Christ. Jesus always had some way of bringing it around to their soul. What's going on in their spirit? When the Pharisees saw him sitting back after dinner and visiting with the tax collectors and the sinners, he was getting ridiculed by the people. They couldn't believe what he was doing. Jesus and his disciples were hanging out with these people. What would be your response if I were to walk into your life group and I see that you have invited people from your neighborhood, people that do not have a relationship with Christ, and I were to walk in and say, what are you doing? Why are you hanging out with these people? Don't you know the sins that they've committed? Don't you know the lifestyle that they live? Don't you know this? How would you feel if I said that to you? My hope is that you would say, there's the door, get out. And say to me, get thee behind me, Satan. Because God did not call us to go and minister to the well. He called us to go and minister to the sick. On December 31st, I arrived here at church. And I saw, as I pulled in, I saw a pile of stuff underneath the stairs just out here by the office. And I thought it was odd. I was like, I don't recall seeing that yesterday morning when I came. And I walked up the stairs, and I got inside, and I'm thinking, I think there's a person out there. So I opened the door, I walked back out, and I looked down, and I could see that this pile had now been kind of repositioned into a kind of a pole almost, like a straight. I was like, there's a person down there. So I just, is there somebody down there? Yeah. Are you awake? Yeah. It's like, okay. Would you like to come in and get warm? No, I'm warm down here. It's like, okay. And I came in and I thought, it's not that warm out. Even for this boy from Alberta, it's not that warm out. So I went down, I made a cup of coffee, I went into the freezer, I found that there were some cookies there. I came out and I went over to him and I said, hey, I got some coffee here for you. I don't know if you take cream and sugar, but I got some coffee here, I got some cookies here for you. Would you like them? Sure. And then he kind of sat up, and then I invited him to come inside. And I said, do you need a shower? Do you need anything? He says, oh, a shower would be great. So I'm looking around the place, no towels, so I quickly called Claire and said, before you come over, do you have a spare towel you can bring? And I explained to her what was going on. And this guy just hung out here at the church. I went into the food cupboard. I gave him some items that he could put into his backpack. And then I asked him where he was going. He was on his way to Powell River on the ferry. He was from Ontario. And I just said, okay. So we stopped at McDonald's. I grabbed him some lunch, took him down to the ferry, dropped him off. I don't know where he is today, but I know that God put him in my path for a purpose that morning. And even as he walked away, he said to me, God bless you. God bless you. Jesus led by example and helped the people to understand. And he said, it's not those who are well that need the doctor. The tax collectors, the prostitutes, the sinners, the adulterers, the liars, the slanderers, these are the people who need Jesus. These people from the exterior may not look like they are physically sick, but they are spiritually sick. Their soul needs healing. The disciples watched and saw how Jesus handled these people. He saw how he did not judge the woman caught in adultery. They saw how he engaged with the Samaritan woman at the well. He healed the man waiting by the pool. When Jesus was standing beside Lazarus' tomb, he wept. A good counselor will not just give sympathy, but they are also able to empathize with you. Jesus was a counselor to the disciples and letting them know that they would not be left alone. God would send Holy Spirit, the counselor, to them. Every person that provides care ought to adopt the mission of Christ. And I believe that Jesus took his personal mission even from Isaiah 61, and it says this, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Holy Spirit has many roles in our lives. Remember that no matter what is going on in your life, Holy Spirit is helping you. When you're suffering through grief, Holy Spirit is cheering you on. When you're being mistreated, Holy Spirit is giving you the grace to endure it. When you're being accused, Holy Spirit is fighting your battle. When you've made a mistake, Holy Spirit is encouraging you. When you're walking through despair, Holy Spirit is speaking promises over your life. Today is Palm Sunday. Today marks Holy Week for us.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.